good morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome along to the Short Ball, the Rugby Pass podcast with Scotty and Mills. And it's the last week for the Southern Hemisphere, Millsy. Last week. One test match to go for the All Blacks. No more domestic rugby. No more Super Rugby. No, nothing. What are we going to talk about next week?
I don't know. Jeepers. I wanted to talk about the Kiwis today, but you didn't want to.
What about the Rugby League?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not actually showing the Rugby League on Kiwi on Rugby Pass, should I say. But let's talk about it. Get out of your system.
What do you want to say? I don't really now. Now that you've brought up the fact this is the last week of rugby. It's been a long season, though, hasn't it?
So you've just come back from the Gold Coast. Gee, you've got a tan, I'll give you that.
I have not got a tan.
You have got a tan. You've come back at least two shades darker.
You cannot get a tan if you're sitting inside your apartment with the aircon going because it's so humid and rainy.
No, you can. You get a tan by association when you go to the Goldie.
Oh, yeah.
How did the Gold Coast get all the pea dealers but none of the ozone hole?
What?
A lot of speed dealers in,
really?
In the Goldie. Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
But they get all the drugs and none of the ozone hole. Is it a coincidence that you were there during Schoolies Week?
Oh, I didn't know.
Is it a coincidence that you were there?
I didn't even know it was on.
Yeah, you did.
I thought it was the following week, but I got my dates wrong.
I didn't say anything to you last week when you said, oh, we're going on holiday, taking the family away, and I'm thinking to the Gold Coast. This time of year of all times, did you see Carnage?
We were down Broadbeach, so we didn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Joe purposely booked us an apartment down that end.
She knew.
I think she knew.
She knew it was Schoolies.
Yeah, and I just figured Surface Paradise is Surface Paradise. It's not too far away from Schoolies, is it?
I got the most amazing photo from our Australian correspondent, J. Ball Staunton, which you also saw. Yeah. Just a man lying on his stomach with his knees bent, wearing a pair of brand new sneakers and nothing else but Speedos. I mean,
those were sucked right up too, those Speedos, weren't they?
Yeah, they certainly were. They were, yeah, that was a hungry butt cheek. I've got to say, that man runs an interesting program, doesn't he?
He does, doesn't he? He does.
He's like a pig and muck at Schoolies Week. I reckon he needs to call a lawyer. Something wrong is going to go on there. Hey, Millsy, let's get back to the footy here on the Short Ball this week. Another interesting week in the ongoing pseudo feud. I'll say that again. The ongoing pseudo feud. Can you say that?
Pseudo feud.
That's a tough thing to say. I wish I'd never come up with that line. Pseudo feud between Steve Hansen and Warren Gatland. Gatland's just released a book written by Jerry Thornley, who's a great journalist with the Irish Times, about the tour. And within that book, obviously, there's going to be this line and that line, which leads to or hints at or maybe says a few things that are controversial, and that's fine. But one of those things was that he has some explosive or potentially explosive revelations on the All Blacks and just try me and I'll spit them out. It was weird. It's a weird thing to say for Gats. Because yeah. I mean, if you're going to burn someone, just burn them. What have you got to lose? Steve Hansen ain't going to fall for the old don't mess with me because I've got some stuff on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah. And I think when he came out, they asked him again and then he said, did I say explosive? Mm. And so Gats knew what he said. And so he's just trying to fuel something. And so, I mean, it makes things interesting for the last game of the year, doesn't it? And
I don't know why. I mean, I understand when a book comes out and...
you would know, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah. Know? Well, that's right. And, you know, it was needless to say, you know, I've just finished Gordon Titchen's book. And, you know, obviously 22 years of sustained success. And the only thing people pick up on is the last week of his coaching career where there was some controversy with Olympic Games. I understand how that works. That's publicity, right? But the thing about Gats that I never get is he's such a quiet, unassuming guy. But you put him in front of a press conference, and for some reason, and I don't think it's his fault, for some reason, no matter what he says, gets taken out of context or taken the wrong way or becomes a headline. I'm not entirely sure whether that's just a Northern Hemisphere approach to journalism, whether it's Gatty himself, or whether he's intentionally just trying to subvert things.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, you've been coached by the guy. You know him well.
And you're right. He's totally different, you know, in front of the screen compared to when he's, you know, off it. But sort of, it's interesting. I find it interesting because, like, even some of the things he said, you know, the fact that the way he was treated here in New Zealand, obviously we're not in his shoes and the things that happened. I don't know.
What about coming out and accusing a journalist, quote unquote, with being so in cahoots with the All Blacks that they were running an orchestrated media campaign against them? I think I know who he's referring to.
Oh, yeah.
I laugh at that.
I think, I did actually read that. You know who I thought about? I did think that you would know that person that he's talking about.
Well, I mean, I think I can assume I know who that person is and what organisation he works for. But, you know, those are the things, right, that I don't understand about Gats. Even if Gats thinks that, even if he knows it 100%, what does he have to gain as an international coach by going there?
No, I mean, he's, what does he have to gain? There isn't really. There's no, well, apart from the fact that he wants to get it off his chest and...
Get it off your chest with your wife over a cup of coffee.
Yeah, true.
But then when you're standing in front of a room full of journalists, why?
Yeah.
There's no one in that room that is going to sympathise with you attacking a journalist.
No.
Right?
No, there is not.
I think after 11 years working in this business, I can safely assume that journalists are going to stick together when it really matters.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you that. What happens when someone attacks a journalist? They all sort of like stick together and go, right, that's
well,
it.
It all depends on how much of a cocky that journalist is, of course. But, I mean, if you're a well-respected journalist,
then
the guys are going to support you, right?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, some guys might not enjoy that level of support from their cohorts and their colleagues, but most often, journalism is journalism. If a guy goes after one, he's going after all.
So do you think, Sumo, that he is just totally going about this the wrong way?
No, I just don't think he can find a way through it. Mm. And I think what tends to happen is that, I mean, he knows he can't win the New Zealand hearts and minds. I think that's been pretty well signed up, right? And there's one thing you can say about Steve Hansen. I mean, he runs a tight ship on his own press cohort.
Mm.
He really does. And I think everyone knows that. Yeah. Everyone who's covered the All Blacks in the last decade with Steve being there understands how he works, understands that he understands the business.
Yep.
And he's very good at it. And in the same way that Eddie Jones is very good at grabbing a headline and to a lesser degree, Michael Cheek is good at grabbing headlines, but I think most of the time that's unintentional. But Hansen's a wily operator. He's worked in the North, he's coached the All Blacks, he's coached well, so he understands what he's trying to put across there. It was really interesting, speaking of coach speak, after the Scotland Test, Steve Hansen said to Mark Hinton, who works for Fairfax and stuff, maybe you could talk about the positive stuff, you would be a leading light. You know what? What, you're telling the guy what to write? Then giving him the sort of advanced compliment, like if you write what I think you should write, then you're well ahead of the pack. That's weird. When you start literally telling people what to write, and with the implication that if you don't write that, you don't know what you're talking about. That's very that to me is very strange.
How did Mark take? I don't know Mark.
Mark wrote the story. The only reason I know that is because he wrote it in a story, which I found really funny. And knowing Mark enough, I mean, I know exactly why I did that, because he was trying to bring to light the fact that this is coach coercion going on.
Yeah.
I find coaches really fascinating at this level, and you talk about the guys like Gordon Titchens and Warren Gatland and Steve Hansen. I mean, every one of them has an ego. And I don't mean that in the pejorative sense, but you have to have an ego to get to that level of your craft, right?
Yep.
And every one of them has one. They're all different, but boy, oh boy, you get in their way and they will knock you over.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
That's the drive required. So it's really interesting to see how different coaches deal with the press. And, I think when it comes to Gats, I just think he's misunderstood. Because you and I both know him at a personal level. And when he's away from the cameras, you can sit down with him for half an hour, and have a really in-depth conversation about a range of different issues. And he's not on guard.
No.
But he seems to get to that table, and he thinks that I'm under siege here, and I have to choose my words carefully. And the more carefully he chooses his words, the worse it turns out.
Yeah.
I'd love Gets to sit there cracking up and just start cracking jokes.
Oh, and you summed it up. I mean, we had a dinner with him in Hamilton when they were here for the Lions, and you could almost sense that he kind of didn't want to be there. He sort of put his guard up, and as soon as you started talking to him, he actually could see his shoulders sort of relax a little bit. Then he started cracking some jokes and things, and that's the real Gats. But you get him in a room full of people that he doesn't know, possibly doesn't trust, and some of the things that he's probably read, then he puts his guard up, and all of a sudden, as you say, he says things, and the longer he goes on about it and trying to get his point across, the worse it actually gets. And I think you're right. He's actually, he comes across not the way he actually is. He's perceived in the wrong way, and some of his sentences are taken in the wrong context, for sure.
Do you think that we should still be talking about the Lions series in late November and his perceived treatment on that series and what went down in terms of what was reported and what he deemed to be some fairly rough treatment of his family and some pretty heated press? Look, ultimately, when the All Blacks go north, they don't have a lot of friends in the British press.
Mate.
So I find it very rich to start accusing the New Zealand press of being biased. I mean, let's be honest here. We're talking about New Zealand rugby because we're in a podcast studio in New Zealand.
Yeah.
That's our bread and butter, right?
That's it.
In the same way that the Travelling Lions press were very pro-Lions.
That's right.
Of course they are. They're writing for Lions fans.
That's right.
Or they're reporting for Lions fans. So, I mean, there's a natural bias in what you do. But do you think it's fair that Getz still feels aggrieved at his treatment on tour?
Well, look, without knowing what he went through or what his family went through, and obviously being on the other side, you don't actually know. I kind of feel, and Kiwis are like that, you know. Obviously, he's a Kiwi. He's coaching the opposition, and it was kind of similar to the America's Cup, you know, when Russell Coutts went overseas, and you know, Kiwis turn their back on people like that. And I suppose in some ways, Getz kind of felt that, you know, immediately. But you've got to know as a coach and as a former All Black and former coach from New Zealand that he's going to get some stick while he's back here. And
totally,
I think, you know, instead of sort of, you know, perhaps trying to get his point out across, he could probably try and get out a little bit better. But I think he should try and park it. Mate, he had a successful tour. Okay, it was a drawn series.
Mate, he's undefeated in series as a Lions coach.
Absolutely. So just try and dwell on that. I think he's using that successful tour as a told you so, New Zealand kind of thing. Just celebrate it. He's done fantastically well over the last couple of series.
I wonder as a player, I mean, you played 100 tests for the All Blacks, Millsy, and we all know that coaches have rivalries, and there's coaches they don't like, and there's teams they love to beat. But as a player, and this is a genuine question, have you ever been more motivated to win a test match because you know your coach would really love you to win that test match because he has a grudge against another coach? But does that have any impact on you as a player? Secondly, does it have a positive impact or a negative impact on the team?
I'll tell you what, and seems you're talking about Wales and Getz, all the things that he had done over the past is you rock up to Cardiff and you know you've got a massive game. You know, they talk about the national anthem, the haka thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
All that does is motivate the All Blacks. You know, they've gone on now, they've played relatively well. They haven't sort of hit their straps, but you now have feeding them something like this, and you know that's going
to
come at them.
But what I'm saying to you is that because there's this rivalry, perceived or otherwise, real or imagined, between Warren Gatland and Steve Hansen, are the All Blacks more likely to go out and play for Steve Hansen to teach Warren Gatland a lesson, or is it just immaterial? Is this just the flotsam and jetsam of the rugby world and it has no impact on the team, regardless of what a coach thinks of another coach?
No, it's got no impact on a team. I don't think it has any impact on a team.
So that's my point, right?
Mm.
So why carry on like this?
I know. Oh, it sells papers.
Yeah, I understood. And I guess the coaches would both say, mate, you guys are the guys writing the headlines. It's, you're asking us questions, we're answering them, you turn it into whatever you want.
Mm.
But I've always been fascinated by that. I mean, I think some coaches can instill in their team a genuine hatred of another team.
Oh, yeah.
Based on their own thoughts. Absolutely. And practices, right? But I wonder how sustainable that is in the long term. It might get you up for one test, but it's not going to get you up for every test of the year, is it?
No, it's not. And often they talk about the emotional side of things, you know, and that's where you can't just keep, you know, plucking at things to try and motivate you to get up. And that's something that the All Blacks have tried to use over the past, you know, the French mocking the haka, well, we've lost this, we've lost this. All of a sudden it becomes a burden. And then as you get down the track, well, what are you going to pick out of the bloody corner of the room to try and motivate you? And that shouldn't be a factor. It should never be a factor. The process of what they talk about getting up for a game should always be the factor, and knowing what your role is. Not this piggy argument that coaches are going to have all the time.
You can't get away from the fact that Warren Gatland, as coach of Wales, is 0-10 against the All Blacks. That, to me, is the only stat that counts here.
Yep.
And he's going into this test match well down on experience. He's got a lot of injuries. Liam Williams just ruled out this week, but I think that's the least of his problems. His pack's down, front rowers. Sam Warburton's not there. Halfpenny's not there. He's got to go to the well here. And they selected a team that has been called by the Welsh media a B team against Georgia, and okay, fair enough. They won the game, but it was hardly convincing. They could have lost it with a last minute try, or at least Georgia could have scraped a draw. The thing about the All Blacks is that there's never a sense that this is our B team. The All Blacks are 7 frontline players down, and more. But no one looks at the All Blacks and say, oh, it's a weakened All Black team. The All Blacks themselves never say this is a weakened All Black team. When it comes to tests, I understand in the midweek fixtures you might play some guys who are developing talent. But every other team seems to be able to say, oh, well, we're down on talent, and that's an excuse. This is the one thing I really do appreciate about the All Blacks and the ethos of the All Blacks. It does not matter who's in that jersey. No one is making excuses, and no one in the Northern Hemisphere is saying anything about the fact they're missing Ben Smith or Jordy Barrett or Owen Franks or Brodie Retallick.
Moody.
Or Joe Moody, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. No one reports that, right?
No one. No one reports that. No one. Why? I mean, you look at the way the things happened over the weekend. Was it, oh, the B New Zealand team, All Blacks team, almost lost to Scotland? No.
It was the All Blacks, right?
It was the All Blacks are the most penalised team, the All Blacks.
Hey, in fact, Millsy, it was the Scottish B team almost beat the All Blacks.
No, well, there you go. Well,
because all the talk we heard before that test match was how many injuries the Scots had.
Hmm.
But no one talked in the lead up to that game about how many players down the All Blacks are.
Oh, exactly.
Because it's an irrelevant.
No.
And that to me says more about their dominance in the world game than anything else. The fact is, maybe after a result, a close result or a loss, a coach might say, well, we're down a minimum experience. But in the lead up to a game, that's not discussed because the All Blacks are the All Blacks, regardless of who's playing in there. You could have Noah and Moses in the All Blacks and no one would bat an eyelid. It's just like they play for the All Blacks, tough team.
That's right. And I suppose, I mean, we don't give them enough credit for this. You don't give the, you know, Steve Hansen and you know the coach that have Graham Henry that's been in there in the past. You don't give them enough credit for the fact that look at all these guys they're breeding, and they don't once say this is the B team. They're giving guys opportunities who've perhaps had less than sort of 10 test matches. They're out there playing, but this is the pressure that these guys are under. This is the expectation of being in an All Black. That you know, if you're playing your third test and you've got to start. Mate, you're playing in the black jersey and there's 4 million people at home that are counting on you to win. And that's what guys thrive on. That's why the all-black environment is so great.
Okay, we talked about Warren Gatland's record as head coach of Wales, 0-10 against the All Blacks. Wales are on a 29-match losing streak since 1953 against the All Blacks. We know all that. We know all that history. But he has beaten the All Blacks once as a head coach with the British and Irish Lions.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that long ago. And I understand that that was a rather different-looking squad.
Yep.
But how much confidence does he draw out of the fact that he was able to put a game plan together with the help of the likes of Farrell and Borthwick and his other coaches? How much confidence does Warren Gatland take from that result in the second test?
Oh, you've got to take a lot of confidence from that, because you've got to remember that first test, that result there, I was thinking, okay, mate, it was going to be a whitewash. And they came back, yes, okay, the All Blacks played with 14 men, which is a lot, but to then go...
They beat Scotland on the weekend with 13 men for 20 minutes, so, you know, or 14 men for 20 minutes. So, yeah.
Is that the Scottish B team?
Yeah,
B-team. Yeah, and so you've got to take a lot of confidence from that. And so I think, you know, he'll look back at some of those tapes and find out some of the things that he niggled at with the All Blacks. I feel, though, with Crotty and Sonny Bill being pretty solid there now, and Sonny Bill's had a massive tour, end-of-year tour. And so I think that's probably the difference compared to the Lions series, the fact that they've got a settled sort of midfield combination. And Crotty was big. You know, him being out of that Lions series after that first test was massive. So, yes, I believe, you know, Gats will have some confidence from that. I don't think they're going to win, though.
I don't either. What's interesting for me is we talk about some of the injury concerns. Sean Edwards, the defence coach, was talking about, you know, line speed's not enough against the All Blacks. He's called it, being the defence coach against the All Blacks, the toughest job in world sport, or one of. The interesting thing for me is the recall of Jamie Roberts. I really like Jamie Roberts as a player. I think he deserves his part in the pantheon of Welsh rugby. He's been a great servant of the game. But, you know, that just to me says a lot about the injury crisis Wales are currently suffering. I mean, Jamie Roberts is well and truly, with all respect to him in the twilight of his career, he's been pulled back. He may well start this game. And imagine being pulled out of retirement or semi-retirement or out of international obscurity and saying, hey, got a job for you, Jamie. Can you mark Sonny Bill in this test match? I'd be like, beat it. I'm done, man.
Well, not only that.
Get out of here.
Well, Jamie Roberts, the big thing of his game is running. I mean, running the ball up, but how's he going to get any pill? You know, and that's the biggest thing. You know, he can defend and things like that, but the biggest thing to his game is the running game, and he's not going to get any pill.
Adi Savio's got mumps.
Is that still around?
Who the hell's getting mumps this day and age?
What is it? Have you had it before?
It's a glandular inflammation. I had mumps as a kid.
From what?
This is before you could just go and have one jab. They say he was vaccinated. This is a worrying, disturbing trend, that vaccinated All Blacks are getting the mumps. This is up there with Susie the waitress. Who is giving the All Blacks mumps?
Might be
no one's talking about who's in there giving them mumps.
It's a reporter.
And how close was Rico Ioane Tuati Savia to give him the mumps? Up to?
Up to, all right, hey, boy. Hey.
I don't get this.
He just wants to come home.
It's mumps, man. It's 2017. That shit's like polio. It should be out of here.
Oh, jeez. Someone's not washing their hands.
No, you got to wash your hands. It's a hygiene issue in the All Blacks. We need to talk about the All Black team. Kieran Reid, I don't think he plays this game. By the sounds of it, and what I'm hearing is that he's got a bulging disc in his back. His injury's been reported as a hip flexor issue. Not entirely sure those two things are the same, but irregardless, whether it's a hip flexor or a bulging disc, those are two things that should keep him out of this game.
Mm.
Why risk him? Last game of the year, why do it?
No, I wouldn't risk him. I mean, he has got a bulging disc, and that's probably where it's the hip flexors, you know, when your body compensates.
You have been listening in chiropractic college.
I'm not there yet.
Well, but you've done it. You're doing it. You're doing
something
else.
You've got to look somewhere else. Something else has to compensate for it.
What do you know about bulging discs?
I know that everyone has a bulging disc.
Do they?
You've got one? And it's just depending on sort
of... I've got a bulging gut. Is that the same thing? Can I blame that on a spinal condition?
I thought you were going to say you've got a bulging something else.
No, Melzy, not today.
But no, to go back to your question, mate, you don't risk him. Let him have that extra week off.
And so exciting times. Luke Whitelock will get a test cap at the back of the scrum. And Liam Squire, I think, will come back into six. You know, I think Vaia Fifita is still, as the All Black coach of Long City, he's a work in progress.
Yes.
He was really good in parts of that Scottish game. But ultimately, I think he's still learning his craft.
Yeah, he is.
In terms of when he can be on the loose and when he needs to be in the tight. I thought his effectiveness around the ruck was down.
Mm.
And no offence to him, but Liam Squire is going to give you more in terms of absolutely killing someone in this game.
Yeah.
And he'll be off the leash,
which
will be exciting. Patrick Tuipulotu likely to come in to start in place of Luke Romano, who's had a plantar fascia issue before that Scottish test. So needless to say, he's out at the moment. I don't see too many other changes. The Rico Ioane situation, everyone's saying he's out. I think he's still a chance, but again, I don't think they'll risk him. So that gives Sidi Tamani Valu a crack, and Scotty Barrett will come onto the bench. That's a very good All Black team.
Oh, it's a very. I mean, or do you put Havili at the back and shift Damien to the wing?
No, I don't think they'll change anything else. I think that's
pretty settled,
Yeah, and I think it's good that the All Blacks are going to go through this adversity. And you know, it's been a tough time since that Australian test in Brisbane, but they're going with guys they know they can trust. And I think what they're trying to say to these guys is, show us you can improve.
Yeah.
Whether you're tired or not, whether you played 30 games of footy this year, last game of the year, we are going to give these guys a chance to finish on a high note.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot about the All Black ethos too, and it reminds me of the old school All Black way, where it's like, I'm not going to drop you just because we scraped past in that game or we're under pressure in that game. You go out there and show us that our faith in you is deserved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. I think that's... and that gives guys confidence as well. And then that mean you we talked about the environment and things like that. You give them another chance. Yes, they scrape past. And, you know, it's interesting you talk about Fifita because I think he just got lost a little bit when Sam Cane went off as well. You know, wasn't quite sure whether it was the lock or the Lucy. And that's perhaps sort of that's the work in progress that, you know, Steve Hansen was talking about. But I think you're right. You know, get them back out there, show them, you know, show them that you got confidence in them and let them sort of, you know, go out there and try and show the coaches that, hey, yep, we're good enough to end this tour and end this tour well.
I've got a bet for you this weekend.
What's that?
Unders or overs? 3.5 concussions or less, or 4 concussions and more?
Oh, gee, why this week? Is it something to do with...
I just get a feeling about Welsh tests. They're always the same. Someone gets knocked the hell out.
There have been a few there now that I think about it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about the Welsh. I think it's the fearless attitude of the Welsh, but someone's bound to get their head in the wrong place in this test.
Yeah, I'm going to go overs.
You're going to go overs?
Yeah.
3+ or over?
Yeah.
Concussions? Great bet. I'll look up the odds for that in a second. Millsy, we're on the short ball today and we're talking All Blacks Wales, but also an interesting story during the week, and I wrote about this, the Brad Shields decision to leave New Zealand Rugby, head to Wasps. It was reported at the time that perhaps the All Blacks had reached out to him and said, you know, do you want to join us? And I wrote a column on this on Rugby Pass during the week. It turns out I spoke to Brad. He said, no, I wasn't offered that place. But the tenor of the column was this. You know, I wouldn't have wanted Brad Shields to be looked at as a guy who gave up on his All Black dream and went for the soft option, because I think that's unfair. Yeah. And the reason I think that's unfair is Brad Shields has worked his arse off for 6 years, six seasons, and has watched lately two of his teammates get All Black honours. Elliot Dixon get All Black honours, Liam Squire get All Black honours, and a host of others as well, Victor Vito before them. He knew he wasn't in the running, right? But every kid starts with the same ambition in this country, and I know it's all part of our mythology, and I appreciate that. You know, all kids grow up, they want to represent the All Blacks. It's a great story. but it's too convenient. Mm. Especially in the provincial and the professional era, where this guy has said, I'd love to be an All Black, but it ain't happening for me.
Yeah.
And so an overture has come my way. Mm. My ambition is to play international rugby. Mm. My original ambition may have been to play for the All Blacks, but that seems like a closed door. You know, I would hate to think that anyone is pilloried for changing tack. The outcome, if Brad Shields proves to Eddie Jones and the England setup that he is worthy of selection, means he'll get to play international rugby. Mm. I couldn't think of anything better for the bloke. He is such a champion.
Oh, absolutely. And I think I did see the headline on this, and I sort of decided not to read it, because I've actually got admiration for guys like Brad. That you know, obviously I was very fortunate. I didn't have to make a decision like that to say, well, my dream, and we all as youngsters, our dream is to be All Blacks, you know. Yeah. But when you get to a stage when you have to make a decision, do I hang around another year? Okay, there might be an injury, but I've seen all my mates that you've just mentioned get ahead of me, and there was massive raps on Brad Shields, you know. He was going to be one of the next best things, and unfortunately, it hasn't quite gone that way. But he's made a decision now, and it would have been a hard decision to make, to go overseas. He wants to play international football. And so good on him. And so I just hope that people don't think that he's sort of
given up, right?
Well, given up, yeah, because so that's not the way at all. You know?
And that frustrates me about, and I understand why we create this fairy tale, this story, because it keeps people here.
Yeah.
It says to kids, don't give up your dreams, guys. Don't give up your dreams. If you give up your dreams, you know, you're technically not a real All Black fan.
Well, exactly.
I don't buy that, mate. We all start out in life with an ambition, sometimes through no fault of our own, not through lack of trying.
Yeah.
Someone else is in charge of whether we make it or not, right?
Exactly.
And so sometimes you've got to say to yourself, look, it's a worthy ambition. I had a goal. It's not going to work out under this current format, but someone else is offering me a chance to fulfill what I believe is my destiny, which is to play international rugby.
Mm-hmm.
If that's for the country of my parents' birth, So be it.
Right? That's it. Now I absolutely agree with that, Sumo, and good on him. You know, I think as I mentioned, it's a damn hard decision, and you've seen guys now. I mean, obviously Bundy Archie's playing for he's probably the darkest Irishman I've ever seen in my life, but wonderful. He's made a decision. He qualifies. Hughes in the weekend for England and things like that, and so you know, Brad's in the similar boat. You know, he's going to go over there, and he's been tremendous for New Zealand rugby and the Hurricanes and Wellington. So again, hard decision, and I just take my hat off to guys like that, because I mean you look at the All Blacks. He's only what, 1300 All Blacks or
less?
Is it less than that? And so, you know, not everyone's going to be an All Black, and to make a decision like that is massive. So it's testament to him.
I gave up my dreams a long time ago, Millsy.
Did you?
Yeah, hell yeah. We're about 8. I could see it wasn't going to pan out for me.
Oh, you made it nice and early, mate. You're very mature at 8 years
exactly
old.
Exactly right. Prescient thought. I knew I wasn't going to make it, and so it proved.
And now look at you. You're just talking about them.
Yeah. Spending my week talking to you about footy.
Oh, mate, you know what? I enjoy talking about it.
It's a great consolation prize, though, Millsy.
Oh, good on you, mate.
It's a wonderful consolation prize. I've got one final question for you.
What's that?
What are we going to do when the All Blacks season's over?
Is this the last week? Do we come back and talk?
We're contracted for the next, I think, 700 weeks.
Oh,
sorry, mate, I signed you up to that.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I haven't seen
even when there's no rugby on. No, it's just, well, it was a handshake.
Yeah.
But not like the Ray Kroc McDonald Brothers handshake. This one is actually binding.
Oh, okay.
So we've got to turn up here. Even if rugby ceased to exist, we'd still
just
be doing
turn up.
Short ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's those stairs. They get me, mate.
Yeah, the stairs get me.
What are we going to talk about? I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
We might do a best of next week. Best of the season?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
We could do that. Yeah. We'll give you time to think about it.
I wanted to talk about the Australians, actually, but...
Oh, hey, mate, we can talk as long as we like, mate. It's a podcast. There's no time limit.
No, what did
you want to say? Give me a brief one sentence on the Australians.
I thought there was merit in some of the things that happened. Well, I felt sorry for the Australians,
Conceding 3 tries in the last 20 minutes and getting humped by England.
Oh, in the last 10 minutes, yeah. Well, and actually, it was Cheka I wanted to talk about.
Go on, then. Get it off your chest.
Well, I just think, okay, if you're going to stick a camera in the box, and then... if you're going to come out and find someone or whatever, well, at least have a... is there something written that you can't do what he's done?
Here's the thing. Michael Cheka says effing cheats. That's what he's accused of saying. I'm no lip reader, but that's the basic thing here, right? And because the camera's on him. Eddie Jones swearing like a trooper the other night, but he's abusing his own team, so that's somehow okay.
Mm.
Do you know, the thing about it is, if not everyone has to operate in their working life with a camera on them. And the more we go on about these things, I mean, the Czech is a passionate man, right? He's just an emotional man when it comes to watching rugby. Steve Hansen looks like he's in a coma, but that's him. He's a very calm in-game coach. Yeah. Czech is all on emotion. Eddie Jones is all on emotion. You can't find these guys. I mean, what you can say is that Checker can't go up to a referee at half time. We all know that.
Absolutely.
But I don't think anything that Checker's been fined for has anything to do with him swearing on a camera.
Yeah.
I think it's everything else that happens. The unfortunate thing for Checker is, I mean, I like it. Craig Bellamy with the Melbourne Storm.
Mm.
I mean, that guy is literally losing his mind every game.
Yeah.
How he does not have a bill for damages of every coach's box in the NRL is beyond me. But everyone loves that, you know. Rugby's got to get over its conservative self. We all take the mickey out of Michael Checker because, well, it's funny. but ultimately, we shouldn't kick the personality out of our game.
Oh, absolutely.
Personalities make the game.
Absolutely.
And if some guy doesn't fit your restaurant or your country club because he swears a bit or he's a bit rough around the edges, then shove it.
Exactly. And, hey, you've said it all. That's all I wanted to say. Because what I don't want it... Well, actually, one more bit. I don't actually want it to get to the fact that Michael Checker goes, well, I don't want a camera in the box anymore.
Exactly.
Because that's actually quite good. I love the passion he brings out. Yeah, some of the things he sees, you know, but it's great. I think people should see that because it shows how real some of these coaches are.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. Imagine you in a coach's box.
Me.
I'd love to have a camera on you in a coach's box.
Mate, a lot of music pumping and wouldn't even worry. Mate, no, once you're out there, you can't do nothing.
You'd be taking selfies for your Insta. Your Insta story would be lit, man. You're just you. Here's me with Steve.
I wouldn't last that long as a coach, mate.
I don't know. Are you going to give it a go?
Hell! I'm not going to say it.
You said that to me at the start of the year when I said to you, come into a podcast and a TV show with me. You went, nah, man, I'm not interested in that. Now look at you. Can't keep you out of it. And now you're turning down coaching. You know, every time you say you would never do something, you end up doing it. That's half your problem, Leo.
Yeah, it is. Actually, you said it to me while I was still playing. You know, when you finished up, you should come do this and that. And I was like, nah, not my thing. And then this year, holy smoke.
It's only because I know you, mate. I knew you'd be lost.
Yeah.
I knew you'd be lost.
No, you're a good man, Sue, mate.
I'm like the shepherd for lost Samoans.
You're going to get a big Christmas present this year.
Am I?
Oysters that I owe you.
You can't make that my Christmas present. You owe me that on a bet.
Well, I said it's not a Christmas present. I said I was going to bring it, and then you didn't want them. So, no, mate.
When did I tell you I didn't want the oysters?
You said it off camera.
You are talking cucka.
Cucka stains, eh, boy?
I want those oysters. I can't believe...
Okay, instead of a dozen, you'll get 14.
I had forgotten about the oysters until you brought it up and trying to pass it off as a Christmas present. Don't nickel and dime me on my Santa present.
Do you do poles?
No, yeah, I do poles. I don't do kenna, though. Do you know, for those who don't know what a kenna is, it's a sea urchin. And a lot of Māori people consider the sea urchin, the kenna, a bit of a delicacy, including Case Muse, former All Black prop. And here's a story for you. Jamie Joseph is another one as well. In fact, I celebrated the Highlanders' maiden title with Jamie Joseph eating kenna and drinking champagne. It was the weirdest combo ever. Anyway, aside from that, I don't really do kenna as a rule. Case Muse invites me to lunch in Dunedin when I was down for a rugby game. And I said, what are we having? He goes, oh, kenna. And I went, nah. And I saw him later on, and this is the Pākehā test. Because I said, how was your kinner? He goes, oh, the kinner was all right, but the powers and crays were awesome.
Oh.
And I said, you didn't tell me about the powers and the crays. He goes, no, but if you can't get past the kinner, you don't get the powers and the crays. You said, that's the Pākehā test.
Nice.
So that is a dodgy move, Case Muse. But I couldn't help but appreciate it as well, play. That's us for the short ball this week, team. Enjoy the test match. Wales taking on the All Blacks from Cardiff. Should be a fascinating clash. We hope so anyway. And plenty more international rugby coming up this week. Next week, we're going to talk about Georgia.
Okay.
Georgia needs to be in Europe.
Yep.
Not just around Europe. They need to be in it.
Nice.
Yep.
I'll do some homework.
Yep. Yeah, do that. You're good at that.